So what's your name?
Oh, my sakes. Juanita Shepherd Perkins. And I was born in Arnold, Kansas in 1919, April 24th.
All right. We won't do the whole thing over again, but we need you to say your name and where and when you were born.
I'm Della Easton Porbaugh. And then when I was born, February the 4th, 1913.
Right.
Mary Johnson Spurgeon. I was born February 15th, 1918.
All right.
Near Ensign, Kansas.
Okay.
Lady Perkins, and I was born July the 7th, 1918.
All right. Let's get right to the deflating the cows. Because that's too...
That was the interesting part, wasn't it?
That was the wildest part. Now, could you go ahead and just talk in your own words about what would happen?
Go ahead, Mary, and I'll help you out once what I was trying.
During the Dirty 30s, we herded cows on any unused grass or draws or adjoining farmland, and there wasn't much for the cows to eat. Mainly it was just bare ground, and so the cows would eat anything they could find, of course, that was green. And often on the way home from herding cattle all day, our cows would find some green little Russian thistles. And by the time I got home with the cows, often we had to get the butcher knife and stick the cow and let the pressure off her stomach.
A trocar. That knife was called a trocar.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, there were trocars, but that was the fancy. We just used a butcher knife.
Yeah.
How far in would you put the knife?
It didn't matter. The stomach's pretty big.
Far enough to get into that stripping.
Where on the cow would you poke it?
It's between the hip bone and the short ribs.
There's a hole. Yeah,
the ribs.
The hip
there's
bone.
A triangle that would puff up, and when you stuck it, then the pressure would go off, and the cow could live.
And you said you could actually hear it.
You can just hear it whistle. It just
What were you saying? So you had a cow that had been stuck so many times.
Yes, that she didn't heal up completely. So she had a hole that was always open in her stomach. And so when she would trot, often the stomach contents would jump up and come out of her stomach.
A cucklebur. If they're eating along, and a cucklebur just has two little leaves on them when it comes through the ground.
That's when
all they have to do is just nip that in their dead ducks.
Yeah.
Poison. It'll kill?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, they're poison.
It'll get them immediately.
Yeah.
They may be just eating along, and they don't intend to eat this, but it happens. They just happen to get a taste of it, and it gets them.
It'll kill a hog just quick. Yeah.
Did they have any, the cows wouldn't have any instinct to not eat that.
They didn't intend to eat it, but they just once in a while they were trying to get something to eat, and they just accidentally bite it. When they did, that was too bad.
Johnson grass was real bad.
Right.
Because Johnson grass. And the horse would eat the loco weed.
Yeah.
And they'd be loco, too.
I thought that was just on movies.
No.
It's real.
What would the animals do if they ate the loco weed?
They become addicted to it, just like a dope
fiend. Make
them
silly.
And then they'd lose their judgment, and they'd be dangerous, really.
You see some of it out in the pastures occasionally now.
They'd hunt that stuff up.
Really? They would crave it?
Yeah, because
like marijuana.
It greens up before the grass does. And so that's how they get started eating it, because it's green, and some horses would eat it.
But they're sillier and all when they start eating that.
Did you ever try some of it yourself?
No.
No.
Before a party or something?
No.
Oh, all right.
We had better sense, didn't we?
Well, the horse was kind of, didn't intend to eat it maybe so, but he got the first bite and he just kept on.
Well, what did you think of the government programs that came in? You mentioned shooting the cattle and you got $10 a head for that, and that was all right with you guys?
There was no other way to go. We were out of grass, we were out of feed.
They were starving to death, so $10 beat nothing.
You couldn't sell one because there wasn't no market.
Yeah.
We weren't in that program. We didn't have
it. Wasn't the best meat, but it was eatable.
Yeah.
You could can it and it bring good meals.
I thought it was pretty good after one day that person comes.
You'd have to chew it sometimes. Little bit long.
I go by that canyon over there where they put those cows, and I can see those cows stacked up there yet every once in a while. I think about that. I thought, oh my.
How tall a stack was it after they were done?
Oh, they just had this canyon full of them. They just took them out there and shot them. Yeah. Just not too far from us. West down there on that place where Jinx has got down there. On Bailey's.
Oh, really?
Out west. They took them up
where
in that canyon.
Where Harry and Cecil lived?
Old Hendricks lived in that house at that time. And hey, they would let you bring your cookers if you wanted to. Just go in the house and go out and get all that meat you wanted and take it in there and cook it with your... And can it.
But you never had that. You never... Yeah. Your family never did that.
No. We herded our cattle and kept them because that was all we had to live on, really. My father was a well driller, but... nobody had any money to pay him, and he repaired wells and all that, but and the wheat, you'd plant your wheat crop, and he had bought a international truck just before the hard times hit, and by the time the hard times were over, he owed more on his truck than he had in the beginning because of the interest. But then the gasoline, you know, to plant the crop and all that. And then it would blow out, or there wouldn't be enough moisture to raise the crop. And so we were very poor. But my mother raised chickens, and she dressed them and made cottage cheese and took it to the Farm Bureau market, the Holden demonstration. Market in Dodge City, and that's the way she bought our groceries. And then my father took in some money from his well work, but we didn't get much out of our crops for years.
Did you work in any other government program at all? Any New Deal programs or WPA?
When I went to college at Dodge City, they had a new junior college there, and So my mother worked it out so that we could go to college there, and my sister and I worked for the NYA, I believe it was called, and we earned $10 a week, and that's how we could afford to go to college.
What did you do to earn the $10?
I worked for an art teacher, which was nice.
You think that started your interest in art?
No, I had been interested before that.
Mrs. Porbaugh, do you remember any government programs to help out?
Did that one.
Do you remember any government programs, any work or relief programs?
Oh, in the sewing room. The government had, you know, sewing room. We made shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I worked in the sewing room.
How much did you get paid to sew?
Did we get a dollar?
I don't know what that ran out.
I think we just got a dollar a day, and we sewed shirts. But I mean, we took our own sewing machine, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd sit sew all day, and I think we just got a dollar.
Did you make mattresses?
What?
Did you make mattresses?
No,
there was a government program where they could go and make mattresses, and my family, my mother and sisters, did that.
Yeah.
We separated cream, and I was the motor on the churn that churned butter for my mother to sell, 50 cents a pound.
Do you remember having to wear any of the government clothing? Did you wear any of the things you made?
I don't know if I did.
No, I never, we never heard of that.
I don't know as we had, that we wore it. But they did, they issued it out.
Well.
We didn't have much, but we didn't have that.
Well, I just followed the poor head of horses on a by behind the president all, pulling the hill down somewhere.
On the WPA?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did any of your husbands or fathers work on the WPA, the road program?
No. My husband worked on the WPA.
Here is a WPA project.
Yeah.
You talking about cars a while ago. In 1929, we were at Englewood up there, and we had a good wheat crop. So my dad jumped out and bought a new Chevrolet car, I think $700. We could not pay for that car. We lost it, and so the fellow that bought it, we moved back down here then, and the fellow that bought it had it for a year or two, and so he told Daddy we still didn't have a decent car. So we bought it back for $400 the next time, and we still couldn't pay for that car. So what did we do? We ended up with a team of horses and a trailer.
Nice.
It was kind of a letdown. I told my dad, well, then my grandmother, though, had an old Model T that she got hold of somewhere. And that long hill up there by Smith's, we'd get halfway up that hill. It was kind of a little, we'd get halfway up that Model T, and it was so steep that the gas wouldn't feed down to it. It'd die. So we'd have to back plumb down to the bottom of this hill and back it. And I was mortified to death to go into Englewood with that old Model T after having that new Chevrolet car. So I told my dad to let me out by the Christian church up there and I'd walk in. He said, "You're going to ride in the same as me."
My husband's brothers worked for the CCC camp out in California, I believe it was.
They were active in Oklahoma, too. The CCC camps were active here.
Yeah.
In Boise City, they have a outhouse built by the
I've
CCC.
I've seen that.
They were good-looking outhouses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Did they ever come through here building those, or?
I don't know if they did or not.
There were several outhouses built by the government, yes.
They put them at the parks and all that stuff, but I don't know about them.
What's left of them?
Oh, really?
They were double cedars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't Goldie Shepherd's place up there, I think they had one of those. Didn't they? No, I'm not sure.
The only two that I know of right
it
up
was
there.
A government job, anyway, when they built it with cement. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I talked to a guy, a lady, who said she had a four-holer because there were four kids. And the dad said, "The heck with this," and he made a big one. They just all go out there at the same time. They're all about the same age. I don't think I would have liked that. Well, is there anything else you lost during the Dust Bowl,
what's
the Depression?
What?
Anything else that you might have lost? She lost her car.
We could not pay for that car.
My piano.
Yeah?
My mother had bought a new piano for me, and then there was a day when my father said we couldn't keep up the payments on it. So it went back to the shop. And I remember we went back and looked at it in the music store one day, and this fellow was trying to sell it to us. And he said it hadn't had a decent tune played on it. Just like new.
I know in one time we started the town, and we didn't have any gas in that car to speak of. And we coasted down the hill, and Alan didn't think we could make it up the other, but the wind was blowing so hard, we opened both doors, and we made it to the top of the hill and over.
Well, then that's a time when the wind was a good thing. Well, what about cars? Do you remember when you had your first car? Do you remember your first car ride?
No. I remember my grandfather had bought a new Model T at that time, very early. It was, I think it was about 19, uh, 21, and it was brand new, and it was a touring car, and he took us a ride in that new touring car. It was really something for us.
I would think if you've never been in a car before, it would be scary the first time.
I can't remember. My father always had old cars. He had an Overland and a Buick and an Essex and a Willie's Knight and I don't know what else. But when we went to school, we went with the horse and buggy out in the country school.
Yeah.
And then Mabel, my oldest sister, rode to high school on her horse. It was 4.5 miles to Ensign.
It's a long ride.
We lived west of Englewood there. I walked back out on Theus Ranch. I had to walk to school. It's 2 miles and a half.
Yeah.
And then after I moved down here, I rode a horse.
Uh-huh. Well, my dad bought a car, great big old thing, before I was born. He never had driven a car. He didn't know what it was. He's going to learn. Got out there and run over a cow, so he sold his cat, sold his car.
Major's grandfather was a doctor, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And he delivered Bill's mother when she was born.
Yep.
Wow.
It was in the diary that that Bill's daddy, his granddaddy, mm-hmm. Viola's dad,
yeah,
had written. And he said that, what was your grandfather's name?
Dr. Strong.
Dr. Strong.
Yeah, he Dr. lived Strong. On the Horse Creek. And Nelson Taylor said he went over and got Dr. Stone and delivered the baby. And it was Viola.
When my dad had pneumonia, we went down and got Dr. Gann. He lived about 2 miles and a half from us. You might have to get him out of the crowd. He might have been milking cows, but he did come and doctor him.
Well, what other luxuries do you remember having for the first time? Do you remember when you first got electricity or first saw electricity?
We never did.
We had a wind charger. Yeah, we and we had batteries, you know, and the wind charger would build us up, the batteries up, till we had electricity mm-hmm. in the house. But
after I started teaching, I bought a wind charger and a battery and radio for my father because he liked to listen to the news on the radio.
We had something that you haven't asked about, but we had a rabbit drive, jackrabbits.
Okay.
Was she in on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had one.
They just fixed a big fence, just like a baseball, like the back of a baseball where you,
yeah,
your screen.
Backstop.
And the neighbors, there was, I don't know how many hundred people there was, just scattered out all over the country, just arm to arm with clubs in these pastures. We shooed these rabbits in this pen. In the head with all that.
Yeah, we're.
How many rabbits they killed that day?
I don't remember.
I think it was 5,000.
Oh, it was a big batch.
I think it's 5,000 rabbits. And they was gathered up and they were sent in and made tankage out of it.
I didn't remember what they done with them.
You know what tankage is?
No.
Hog feed.
Oh.
You know what tankage is?
Hog feed.
It was food that they made. For they feed the dogs.
Yeah.
They fed it to dogs.
They were long-eared jackrabbits, and they get up there and they study just what they was going to do to get out of there. But they had just enough people that they hurt them in this pit.
Yeah.
Were you on the rabbit drive?
Oh yeah.
Were you on the rabbit drive?
Yeah.
Was it entertainment for you, or was it something that was?
Well,
there's
something that we needed to do to get it. Grass for the cattle. Never
yeah.
eat them.
Yeah.
Eating the
there
feed
were too up. Many rabbits.
Sounds like it.
Oh, there
yeah,
were
the rabbits so thick, and they'd eat the grass or whatever there was, you know. Well, the livestock didn't have anything, you know. They had to get rid of
it. Did you ever
them.
Go on a rabbit drive?
I was there when they had one.
Yeah.
I saw them bring them in.
We just saw a picture of one. It was quite a sight, a pile of pile of rabbits. But they were rabbits that weren't good to eat, right? They were jackrabbits.
Oh, they were jackrabbits, yeah.
Well, they got a disease also. My uncle killed them for his dogs, I guess. And he got tularemia from the... from handling.
They did get a disease in them for a while, but these, I think, were okay.
Is that what they called rabbit fever?
Yes.
Okay, because somebody talked about it today, but they said they didn't know if that really existed.
Yes, it did.
Could people get it?
Yes, my Uncle Shannon got it.
What are the symptoms?
I don't know. I was just a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't remember.
Huh. They also got roots all over them, too. That's boils.
The rabbits did? Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember the first time you saw a big dust storm coming in, what you thought?
Oh, my. With dust storms, I tell you, you couldn't see. it was terrible. I know we'd walk from, you know, where we lived there, and my mother would tell us, my dad was janitor, and my sister and I, we'd always start when he started, and she'd say, well, now take a hold of hand, because you couldn't see, you know. Say, now take a hold of hand. Well, we'd worn a path down through there. Well, we could tell when we'd get out of the path. But if we stayed in this path, and at that time, we didn't have any street lights, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just black.
You just
felt your way around.
Did you know of anyone that got lost out on the prairie, out on the plains, or in the farm?
I don't know of anybody that got lost, as far as I'm concerned, but I know where I was at. We had to haul water. The water on the place we lived wasn't good, and we went to the neighbors and got water, and I just walked out of the house and started to load the water can in the car, and it hit. And they yelled at me not to move. Uh-huh. I expect I was as far as from here to that bookcase over there from the house. Mm-hmm. And they just chained out one by one my hands and kept me a-talking and got hold of my hand. And I couldn't tell where I was at. They didn't want me to move in any direction.
That was Black Sunday, was it?
That was Black Sunday.
But that Black Sunday, we'd started home and we saw this. It just rolled in just like a... You could just see the cloud rolling, and the dirt was rolling, you know. And the birds was all in front of it, and they made the awfulest noise.
Yeah,
those birds did.
They just tried to keep away at it.
It was just weird. Well, we got turned around, went back to Allen's folks, and we run into the house with the car. You couldn't see.
You couldn't see. It was black, just like running into a wall.
We got the cave and went down the cave, and Mother was carrying the light. Well, you could just see her outline in this light, but you couldn't... You know, you just couldn't see. But we finally made it down the cave.
Yeah. I was 4 miles from home herding cattle when it hit. And it just came a cold wind. I didn't see it coming. I think I was reading a ranch romance or something like that, sitting on my horse, you know. And I didn't see it coming until it was almost there. And it was a cold wind, strong, and all this big black...
Yeah.
And the horses were terrified, and they ran around. I could hear them, you know. It was black. You couldn't see anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my horse that I was on was scared, too, and I had to control him, you know, and keep him...
I know we down Mother Forbes, and one of those clouds come in, you know, and Bud Hagelin come in through the door. He said, I think the big boy's through with her. He's a rolling it up. And he did. You couldn't see nothing.
No, you just said kerosene light right there on that table, and from here to there, you couldn't see it.
Did other animals exhibit signs of fright? Did dogs or cats or...
I wasn't around any animals.
What is it?
The chickens went to roost.
Chickens?
It was so dark. They just went to roost. They thought it was time to go to bed.
Yeah.
How did the cattle survive? That's something I never understood out through those.
I don't know. I wasn't out among the cattle when it.
Well, I don't know. Of course, I just let the cattle go because there's no way I could find them or the horses either that I was herding. But but my horse, you know, there was so much dust, and his eyes would water, and his nose would water, and I'd wipe his eyes, you know, it'd just be a lot of mud in the palm of my hand, you know. I'd dig it out of his nostrils, and they'd blow their noses and take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But
I wonder how they stopped from getting dust pneumonia, you know.
They didn't seem to, did they?
What?
They didn't get dust pneumonia, did they, the cattle?
No.
I don't think.
Cattle didn't get.
They're pretty tough, you know, cows and.
Yeah, they're used to the. They're used to it.
Yeah, they're hardy animals.
Well, they breathe a little dust every day, anyhow.
They do. Yeah.
So, did you guys just get used to wearing dirty clothes for 10 years?
Well,
or 5 years?
You could wash, and first thing you know, you'd be dirty.
That's right.
The house would be dirty before you turn around.
We had to put jar lids, zinc jar lids, under our beds. The ants at night would eat you up, put kerosene in them, and put it under each one of the bed legs.
Oh, okay.
The ants were terrible.
Would that be bed bugs?
No, it was ants, little ants. Well, there was some bed bugs involved, too. When we moved down here, there was two old bachelors lived in that house. And there was a lot of holes where there'd been pictures found and so on and so forth. The first few nights we were there, we'd get up coming this way every morning and little red splotches on in. We couldn't figure what we had. And my mother said, I think we better start looking for bed bugs. So every morning then we had to take gas can.
You get you a little
holes. Until we got rid of those too.
We get you a little can of kerosene of chicken feather and you every little crack you'd see, you'd put it. Kerosene in it, you know.
Miss Spurgeon, did you ever
to get
have
rid of the bed bug
problems?
Well, I lived in a fairly new house, and we didn't have bed bugs there. My grandmother had bed bugs, and she had a terrible time. Always dreaded to sleep there because
and the outfit your head chew of a night.
Yeah, it wasn't a sin to get them, but it was if you kept them.
There you go.
But you can smell them.
They didn't bother these two old bachelors that lived in this house. They wasn't bothering them at all, I guess, because they didn't do anything about them.
What do they smell like?
Different from anything.
I don't know. I don't have that.
Can you describe it?
No. But I tell them walking in the house, I can tell if they got bed bugs or not.
Wow.
Well, probably they got a musty smell of having honey. I don't know.
It's just a different smell.
It's an awful smell.
Yeah.
Well,
and kerosene's the solution.
Well, they didn't stay very long because we got
partly, but
every morning. That
of course,
was
when they got
was go through the
more modern insecticides, that took care of them, you know. But they'd get into the mattresses, and you couldn't get at them, you know.
Around those little cotton balls there in the
that
you just
held
had to
the mattress
one of those
together.
Well,
what was that?
Bed bugs.
Yeah. And every kid come to school with a little bag around his.
That's a pity.
That was to keep the germs away or something.
Yeah.
And you would wear it in a bag around your neck? I've heard a few stories about this, and it wasn't pleasant. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it just kept everybody far enough away
that
it didn't get any germs.
I think I took care of the whole thing.
What did it smell like?
I don't know. We never did have it.
I never did either.
But did you know friends that would come to school with a bag around their neck?
I can tell you that.
His mother made him wear it.
You had to wear it?
You better believe I had to wear it.
It's just got a smell of its own. I can't tell. I don't have that good a nose, but anyway, it does have a smell.
How do you spell it? Do you know how you spell that? A-S something.
P-H-E-D-I-A. I don't know for sure how it is. Asaphidia? A-S-C-P-H-E-D-I-A. I'm not sure how it is
spelled. I really don't know.
Well, if,
but it was supposed to keep you healthy.
We take it for granted now, modern medicine. What would you guys do for medicine if you were poor? And
what did you do for what?
Medicine. What did you do for medicine to doctor with?
Took kerosene and sugar. And you would eat it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the taste of it.
Just a little. You just eat it.
And then sulfur?
Just a little bit of sulfur. If you got a sore throat, it was good for flowers or sulfur, not just every kind.
Sometimes you got some sorghum with yourself.
A lot of
what?
A lot of Bic.
Oh, yeah.
Flowers of sulfur is a yellow powder you can buy at a drugstore, and you just take a point of a knife and just take a very little bit, and it was good for a sore throat.
Any remedies that didn't work? Do you remember?
None of them.
They had to work. That's all it was.
None of them worked.
Oh, none of them worked. Okay.
Fried onions worked.
I had a cold for a week.
Fried onions work real well for pneumonia.
Yeah, fried onions. I've never heard that.
Put them in a bag and put them on your chest.
What was it?
Fried onions.
Onions. Mm-hmm. Oh, my mother gave us castor oil once in a while.
Would you all like some punch?
He probably got the weirdest one she's had all day in here.
That's
right.
That's getting there.
This is the best one we've had all day.
It's the best one. She said it's the best group we've had all day.
Well, you're kind of got a bunch that's been on the farm all along. Hillbillies.
Well, do you remember people that left the country because they couldn't?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there were a lot of people.
That's how this lamb got to be vacant that she was herding cows on.
Mm-hmm. People leaving the area because of the storm, dust storms.
Oh,
and the
people left here. You remember the Mathers family, they left, they had a Model T, and they didn't have anything. Well, they finally sold two horses, and they had a wagon, they sold it, and that's when they headed for California. And they said, they pushed that Model T up every mountain and coasted. Oh, they had an awful time of getting there. To California, but that's where they went.
Did you have any other family members or other friends that left? Do you all remember anybody that you know leaving?
Well, our family mostly came back home. The young married couples, they'd come back home and have their babies, you know. Mm-hmm. So we had a house full.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't have any big... I was the only child, so we didn't have a whole lot of things like that to happen. Mm-hmm. But
there were neighbors who left. Some went to Missouri and, Arkansas?
Yeah, every place.
But that's why all this land was sitting empty. The people had just lost it. They couldn't pay for it. And it was just being unfarmed and all this.
Yeah.
One time, just about averaged a family on every quarter.
Yeah. Really. And they've been leaving ever since, haven't they?
Yeah.
One way or another. A lot have died, of course, but very few people out here anymore.
What about people moving through, like hobos or tramps?
Hobos?
Oh, yeah, or tramps.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They would, people stop in for something to eat. Oh, I know Mother Porbo fed. They'd follow the railroad track, and it would be out of their way. Where they could cut up the highway, but they'd follow that railroad track, and they'd stop for something to eat. They'd sit outside as she fixed them. They had chickens, you know, and she'd fix them an egg sandwich or something. They was happy to get it.
But you remember any encounters with drifters?
No, because we were far from any railroad track, I think, or highway.
Mm-hmm. Miss Perkins?
No, we were in the country, too. We didn't have drifters.
What about gypsies? You were hearing...
How about what?
Gypsies.
We've heard a lot of stories of gypsies coming through.
We had gypsies stop.
In the panhandle of all places.
When I was going to school in Englewood, there was gypsies come through.
Yeah.
Okay. They come through, but I think they just drifted on.
Yeah. I always wonder what they were... what were they doing here in the first place? I mean, if I was somebody, I wouldn't, this isn't a place I would come.
Well, gypsies are a different type of people. They're a nomadic type of people, and they don't want to stay in any one place. They go here and there. But Laura could tell you about the gypsies, yeah. I think. She said that they came through, and of course they want to read your palm or tell your fortune. Yeah. And then this one, this old bachelor, well, this pretty young gypsy girl, you know, was getting friendly with him, and he found out later that she was picking his pocket. Oh. But he thought, you know, that she thought he was real nice, I guess.
When they come through Englewood, they'd probably have a team of horses and a covered wagon and a whole load of them. They wasn't going anywhere, and they wasn't coming from anywhere. They were just there, just drifting.
Well,
but down here, we didn't see any gypsies after we'd been down here.
Well, do you remember when, was that anything specific that made you think times were getting better, that times were improving?
I didn't hear him.
He wanted to know if he had anything that made you think times were getting better for you.
Could you afford to buy something or not lose it, something?
It took quite a while to get better.
Yeah, it was a long time. Of course, I got my teacher's certificate, and it was still during the dust storms weren't all over. And I got $60 a month and paid $25, I guess it was, for board and room. And then I didn't have any, of course, I couldn't buy a car or any means of transportation. So I was walking to school to begin with, and they wanted to loan me their mare to ride to school. And so I made an arrangement so that I could bring my own horse. And then it cost me $15 a month to board my horse and didn't have a whole lot left. I remember when I started teaching, I had borrowed money from the bank at Montezuma to get started on. And that's where I banked my money then that I earned. And I remember one time I had written a check for $2.98, and it was to a school board member, and my banker turned it down because I was a few cents overdrawn, and that wasn't a very happy. But it took quite a while for the economy to come back. You know, it was World War II before the economy ever started.
Yeah, but you were teaching eight grades, too.
Well, yes, I had a smaller school. I just had four grades. But,
four grades?
Yeah.
I was reading your pamphlet, your flyer, your pamphlet that you brought, and you had a pretty good story in there about the horse breaking through the ice.
Oh, well, my daughter wrote that up, and and actually it was a quicksand down here on the Beaver River that I had trouble with. Whenever, you know, the river used to come up a lot more than it does now since we have the dams and the CRP and all that. But whenever the river would come up and be rolling, then the quicksand was bad. And one day as I rode home from school, of course my horse that I had brought from home, he was so dumb, he was just as dumb about quicksand as I was. And when a horse gets in the quicksand, he'd better get to going. But my horse, he'd just stop and he wouldn't go, and that's when it will let you sink down. And then he rolled over and kind of caught me, you know, and the water was rolling, and so I got off of him. Finally, he got off my leg, and so then he wanted to come back to me, but you better get out of the way. If your horse comes lunging, you better not be in the quicksand. And so, anyway, it was kind of cold. I had my chaps and my overshoes, you know, on. And when I rode in to Burl Howe's, they were pretty disturbed about the condition I was in because my horse and I both were pretty wet.
But alive. But you were alive, though.
Yes. Yes. But well, then when the river came up, then Lena May Howe, one of the pupils, and I rode together and to school, and it was about, oh, 3 or 4 miles, something like that, across the pasture. And if the river was up, we'd tie our horses on the south side of the river and walk the pipeline bridge, the catwalk. And then it was about a half mile on to school, and we killed a lot of rattlesnakes on the way to school.
So getting to school was a job in itself.
It was, really.
That sounded interesting.
But, of course, in other places where the ice does break through, you know, and you have to watch. But, I don't know, Linda got a hold of my story and wrote it up. She told about the ice breaking through on the Beaver, but that was on the Cimarron that happened.
Yeah.
The teachers nowadays just don't know what they have got, do they?
Well, they sure don't have to go build a fire,
no, they
do
sure
they?
Don't.
And sweep the floor.
We was talking about school lunches a while ago. Before we got out of the eighth grade out here, they had a big stove with a rim around it and a screen over the top. So we got taking stew in glass jars, and we'd set it up there, and we'd have warm lunches for dinner. That was the starting of warm lunches.
Yeah.
But it's better than a cold sandwich.
Yeah, cold egg sandwich.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember anything that you could do when times got better that you were excited about that you weren't able to do before? Go to the movies or go somewhere that you couldn't go? Or
we had fun, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
It was just as much fun.
To get to your dances up there, we had a team of horses and a four-wheel trailer with rubber tires on it. And it took us about 2.5 hours to go up there. We danced till 5 o'clock, and then we get home in time to milk the cows and then go to bed.
And that was Bill's folks, his mother, and brothers who played for the dances.
That was entertainment.
Yeah.
And we were young, and things were fun, you know.
Yeah, we put in many of it. When the moon comes over the mountain, was always the last dance. And when the moon and the sun began to...
You would dance all night.
Dance all night.
Yes.
Didn't have to come home that far in a... with a team of horses and a four-wheel trailer.
Work all the next day?
Work all the next day.
Is that where a lot of courting was going on and wives were being met and husbands were being turned down?
We had some good times.
Where all did you meet your husbands and where did you guys meet?
At a dance.
Probably the end. I was going to say, I thought probably it would be a dance. Probably over to our house, I think. He found out I think he was over to our house.
No. Well, that's...
You got wind by the grapevine that we was having.
That's the first time I met you. I was on the outside of the window and the screen between us. She was sitting in the window and I was outside.
But then we just moved furniture out. If somebody wanted to have a dance, it wouldn't take us long to clean out the house. We didn't have that much in there.
Yeah.
And have a dance. And if we had a violin and an organ or a piano or something, we had an orchestra.
Miss Spurgeon, how did you meet your husband?
Well, my sister was boarding with his family when she was teaching school south of Mead at the old stone school. And she introduced us, I guess. We weren't introduced, but but that's how we met.
Mrs. Poorbaugh, how did you meet your husband?
What did he say?
How did you meet your husband? How did
I meet my husband?
Mm-hmm.
I see. It would be a long story. No, My grandfather lived about a half a mile and a half from his folks, and he came out a few times, and then he found his way to Knowles quite often. And I think we went together about a year and a half or 2 years before we decided we'd. But he played baseball. He played a lot of baseball. And we put in our time to playing baseball. And we went a lot, yeah. He had a nice Chevrolet coupe. And, yeah.
Well, what would a typical date be like when you would go out on a date?
What did he say?
When you would go out on a date with your boyfriend, what would you do if you didn't have money or, you know, resources? What would a date be like?
When he played baseball, he was paid if he played with Ashland or Buffalo or someplace like that. They always paid Alan to play baseball with them. And so, it wasn't a whole lot, but nobody got a whole lot then.
So going to a party or going to the dance was a typical date or a typical time out with your boyfriend or whoever?
Probably. We didn't go to many picture shows, did you?
No, not really.
We didn't go to many picture shows.
Well, now, up there at Knowles, we had a picture machine. My dad run it. And they showed it. They were silent pictures, you know. And they had shows in the schoolhouse there for quite a while.
Did you have a favorite movie star?
Did I? Oh, no, not really. All of them look good to me.
Favorite movie star?
Roy Rogers or Hopalong Cassidy or any of those. We always enjoyed those Western shows. Gene Autry?
I don't remember, but I did.
Wasn't very many shows we went to.
Because they weren't here or you couldn't afford to go? Or?
Well, most of them were far away.
Yeah.
At that time, getting to Laverne wasn't as easy as it is now.
Well, what would you say? In my opinion, you all lived through some pretty rough times, pretty hard times.
You can say that again.
And and you made it. What do you think you carry with you from those times? Is there things that you still think, you know, something that comes back to your mind a lot, or things that did it change you forever? You know, what's your most vivid memory of that time? Or the thing you carry with you?
When I go down past that pasture, I can see those cattle where they're... I think of that often when I go down that road. I can just see those cattle heaped up there where the government had bought them of us. That was kind of a sad deal.
Yeah.
Cows that we really thought a lot of, but we couldn't feed them.
Yeah. It is sad.
I never go by that, but I can just see that canyon over there full of cows.
Yeah.
I guess it'd be one of mine.
I think for my husband and me that we tried to save, you know, we learned to save our money and to not squander it. And I think that children nowadays don't know how to save money, do they?
Mm-hmm. It's a different...
I think they take for granted things that we didn't need at all. We didn't need all these things.
Sit out there and milk cows all week and separate the milk and cream and take a little 5-gallon can to town, a few eggs.
Yeah.
Try to buy enough groceries to last you another week.
Yeah. But when other people were going hungry, We had plenty to eat all through the hard times and the dust storms. We never went hungry.
We never went hungry
during the dust storms.
No.
And we didn't feel poor. Everybody was in the same...
Well, you butchered your own meat.
Yeah.
And such stuff as that. My daddy...
That's right.
Tell him about your dad and the beef. I think that's interesting.
He had to butcher beef there, probably 1,000-pound beef, and string it up in a cottonwood tree and leave it there all the winter long. Just stay froze. Wrap a sheet around it, pin it up. Hogs same way. We had meat and we had beef and pork. And
our seasons were colder then than they are now. You can't do that now.
Yeah, warmer winters.
That's the way poor boys, they'd hang this beef up there, you know, and it'd form a crust on the outside.
It
would dry, and that would cure that beef inside, you know. And you just trim off that little old crust, and it was just as... it was just as tender and nice as
it could be. You wanted a T-bone steak, and let it down and cut off a T-bone steak.
Yeah.
May not be the fanciest butchering job you ever saw, but anyway, it was edible.
And I think the last time we had a butchering of hogs, I think we butchered 8 that day, and that was quite a job. Pickled pig's feet, I made pickled pig's feet.
They were good? They were
good. Yeah.
My
mother always made head cheese.
We made head cheese.
She grind it and make head cheese.
Scrapple. Out of the...
Were there entrails or...
No, we didn't use that. My mother stuffed sausage with a certain, I don't know what it was, something from the entrails.
Yeah.
But...
You take those linings out and clean them, and then you have to have sausage stuffer and stuff.
And you'd take the cracklings and you made soap out of it. I made a lot of soap.
Cleans your hair real well.
It was good wash soap. Yeah,
it's true.
Well, any last words you want to tell posterity about the Dust Bowl? Now's your chance.
Just tell them that we hope they don't have to go through such a thing.
Well, I don't think our generation of today could go through it.
You're talking about me now.
I don't think they could.
Think you could, don't you? Think you could?
Yes, I think I could.
I have a granddaughter that's just a dad for her down here. She won't come down here. She's used to computers and all this stuff, and she can't find anything to do down here. Uh-huh. My kids get out there and take a little iron wheel and a stick and roll it all over. But she can't do that.
Were those days the good old days?
Not really.
They were good for them, but not now.
But you know, I think really that... something passes from one generation to the other, don't you think? And if it comes to that point that you have that strength, don't you think you will have?
You weren't asked if you wanted to have those days put on you.
No,
they just came and you were forced to deal with
them. Yeah, they
were
there.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think you would deal with what confronts you.
Yes.
You know?
And what is happening now is more scary, isn't it?
I think so.
In a way. Yeah.
That's a good point.
You didn't have no money, but you didn't need no money.
That's right.
We made our own entertainment. We'll put it that way. You wasn't entertained
by
anybody.
That's right.
You made your own.
Yeah.
But I thought it was bad that we didn't have nice clothes. You know, we were teenage girls, and... We just didn't have the nice clothes that...
You had one dress to wear in town on Saturday when we went. She had to keep it washed and ironed. You didn't have a whole closet full.
Yeah.
Well, back during the Depression, it was hard for the ball players to have mitts. Well, Alan's mitt, my husband, his mitt just simply rotted out and so... I found an old leather jacket, suede jacket, and I put it in a... a lining in that mitt, and it really, it looked all right, and it did all right. I tell you, here come the mitts.
You had them all.
Everybody sent out one. I'd put a new lining in it if they'd send a jacket or something for me to work with, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many ball gloves that I put the lining back in.
Do you have any pictures of him playing baseball? Do you have any pictures?
Did I have any?
Any pictures, photographs?
Any pictures?
Yeah, of him playing.
Of Alan.
Of Alan.
Playing ball.
Playing ball. Oh, I think I have. Yeah. Oh, I surely have someplace.
I bet you have someplace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're going to be out here in this area again, talking to people in Beaver and Harper County. And one thing we'd like to ask of you, if you agree, is to let us copy your pictures for our collection. And it would involve...
He wants some pictures.
We would take the pictures, and or you could send them if you like, and we would make negative reproductions of them and then send the pictures back. Have you been giving people our address? Is that...
No, but in the follow-up letter that we send to them, I'll have the address.
All right. So that's something you can think about if you can go dig up some pictures.
I didn't think you'd want to visit with us anymore. We're such weird.
I think I might have some pictures.
Picture of you sticking a knife into the side of the couch.
Got the camera handy there.
Can't imagine why not.
Our kids at home, they take a little round wheel, like off on a drill or something, a press wheel on a drill, and take a lath and put a cross piece on the end. It's the skill to get out and run that thing and get it to go straight, what I mean. Mm-hmm. And they could just go out there in the shop and get all kinds of stuff to play with. They didn't have any fancy toys, but anyway. Nowadays, kids have to have toys. They don't know how to do that.
But anyway. I think one thing that was bad about that time was, I think I told you that my sister had gone to the A&M College at Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 1928 or so, somewhere in there, when we still had some money. And she went 2 years, but then she had to give it up because of the hard times. And I think that was a bad thing for her. That was
I don't know.
It's sad to have to leave school.
Yes.
I don't know how in the world we ever washed on a washboard. I think about that, it's scary.
My mother had a clothes stomper.
Yeah, I ran one of those too.
Yeah.
My mother got an old washing machine.
Yeah, we did too.
And it had a handle. But then my dad was pretty inventive, so he fixed a foot pedal down there. He fixed a little thing down where I could sit on a chair and pull and push, and pull and push. And that was the motor for that washing machine.
You were the motor.
And that I was the motor, but he fixed this a little where I could push it.
Yeah.
And that was better than having it just take you on.
And that would your clothes come out clean?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how, but they did.
Well, they were clean.
But
women kept their clothes clean.
With our lights out.
They made their clothes clean in those days.
Yeah.
It had a thing inside. It looked like a milk stool. It had four legs on it, four deals, and a round deal with four deals on it. And it just went round and round. It's cardio.
It was surprising. The people were proud, you know, and they tried to keep clean and to have things just as good as they could have, and they worked hard to have it.
But that washing on the washboard just—I don't know where we ever got clothes washed, but we did.
It was an all-day job.
Yeah.
Would there be one day a week that was wash day?
Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
Monday was wash day and beans. Beans and cornbread for dinner.
Bill's mother used to have these big iron kettles and heated the wash water.
That's what we did.
Washed outdoors and beans for dinner. And then, of course, I guess mopped the floor with the wash water left over the beans water.
They did.
When we'd butcher, why... We'd use this great big iron kettle to render lard in, you know. Out there, And we had a boat paddle. We stirred it, you know.
Why would you have beans on wash day?
Because they would cook themselves.
Oh,
they was easy to cook, easy to get. And then...
I still got one of them old iron kettles left.
Oh,
you always had a wash boiler that you boiled the clothes, but we always boiled them in this iron kettle out there. It bleaches your white clothes. Boil them.
Wash boiler your clothes.
Yeah, wash boilers are an iron kettle to boil your clothes. Your white clothes.
I think we're going to have to close it up here. It sounds like you can go on all night. I'd like to thank each of you for coming and spending your time with us. I think it's a really a great thing, and this is a very valuable source of information we're having. Thank you very much for spending your time.